Welcome to today's deep dive. I'm your host, and I'm here with our resident industry expert to get into a pretty wild topic today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is one of those situations that really blurs the line between, you know, a video game and real-world international law.
It really does. So imagine logging into your favorite virtual world. You know, you've had a long day, you walk your digital avatar into this lavish, neon-lit casino that has been open and bustling for like 7 years.
Right, a staple of the game for a long time.
Exactly. You stroll up to the blackjack table, ready to put down some virtual chips, but suddenly you can't. You are legally barred from sitting at the table.
Just completely locked out.
Yeah. Your screen just gives you this sterile error message. There was no warning, no patch notes, just the sudden silent locked door in a world where you used to have the keys.
And that invisible hand of real world law, you know, reaching right through the screen and tapping you on the shoulder. It's incredibly jarring for a player who just wants to escape into a digital sandbox.
That tapping on the shoulder is exactly what sparked our mission for you today. We've got our hands on an urgent, highly detailed analytical report from Tech and Radar.
And it's a fascinating read.
It really is. The focal point of this report is Rockstar Games abruptly shutting down gambling features in Grand Theft Auto Online for Australian players.
Which sounds like a localized issue at first glance.
Right, but it's not. We are going to unpack how this single silent update in Australia actually exposes this massive 50-nation regulatory war over virtual economies.
Yeah, a truly global conflict playing out in the game's code.
We want to understand what happens when sovereign financial laws collide head-on with digital entertainment, and ultimately, what this means for the multi-billion dollar future of interactive entertainment, specifically the looming release of GTA 6.
Because when a publisher enforces a restriction of this magnitude, I mean, it signals a fundamental realignment in how global tech giants navigate international law. We are literally looking at the foundational architecture of digital economies being rewritten in real time.
Okay, let's unpack this. The details of this Australian trigger event are wild because of how specific the amputation was.
It was very surgical.
Yeah. Australian gamers logging in found they could still walk their characters right through the front doors of the Diamond Casino and Resort. They could look at all the flashing lights.
They just couldn't interact with the core mechanics.
Exactly. They couldn't play blackjack. They couldn't play roulette, three-card poker, or the slot machines. They couldn't even bet on the virtual horse racing, the inside track.
Which was a huge part of the casino update.
And perhaps the most surprising part to the community, they couldn't even spin the free daily lucky wheel.
Yeah, that's where a lot of the player confusion comes in. But to understand the mechanics driving this shutdown, we have to look at the Australian Communications and Media Authority, the ACMA, alongside the Australian Classification Board.
Okay, so the actual government regulator stepping in.
Exactly. These regulatory bodies started heavily scrutinizing the game's microtransactions, zeroing in specifically on the shark card loop.
Okay, here is where I get tripped up, and I think a lot of players do too. It feels like going to a physical arcade, right?
Sure, like buying tokens at a real arcade.
Yeah, you walk in, you buy arcade tokens with real money, you play a game, but you can never cash those tokens back out for real money. In GTA Online, you can't cash your casino chips out for Australian dollars.
Right. The money only flows one way.
So since you can't cash out, how is it legally classified as gambling?
What's fascinating here is that modern consumer protection codes simply no longer care about the cash out.
Wait, really? I thought the payout was the whole point of gambling laws.
It used to be. That used to be the absolute defining metric of gambling in the eyes of the law. Can you win real money back? But the legal standard has aggressively shifted over the last few years.
Because of the microtransactions.
Exactly. Because players can buy shark cards with real fiat money, convert that into the game's primary currency, GTA dollars, and then convert that in-game currency into casino chips.
So the initial input is real money.
Right. The bridge is built directly from your physical wallet to the virtual blackjack table.
Wow. Okay, I see.
The Tech and Radar report highlights that regulatory bodies and behavioral psychologists are now focusing entirely on the neurological reward loop.
So it's about the brain chemistry, not just the bank account.
Exactly. The legal perspective is that when you lose those digital chips, you experience the emotional and psychological low of a financial loss. When you win, you get the dopamine high.
And when you run out of chips.
The game's architecture incentivizes you to pull out your real-world credit card and buy another shark card to stay at the table.
Ah, so the habituation mechanisms are identical to commercial gambling.
Completely. Regardless of whether you can withdraw the winnings at the end of the night, The financial loss and the habit-forming loop are identical.
So it's entirely about the psychological gateway. But, I mean, this is Grand Theft Auto view we were talking about. This single piece of media has generated over $8 billion in lifetime revenue.
It's an absolute juggernaut.
Taking away a massive monetization feature for millions of active players in one of their most lucrative Asia-Pacific markets seems like, I don't know, financial self-sabotage.
Well, we are looking at a preemptive defense here. The Australian government recently updated its online safety codes and tightened its national classification guidelines.
So Rockstar saw the writing on the wall.
Exactly. If Rockstar didn't immediately eliminate these real money entry vectors for simulated gambling, they were facing catastrophic commercial consequences.
Like what kind of consequences?
The alternative to disabling the casino was absorbing multi-million dollar statutory fines, or worse, getting hit with a mandatory R18 plus restriction.
Oh, wow. And a rating change like that would trigger automatic digital storefront bans across PlayStation, Xbox, and PC platforms.
Right. They chose to amputate the casino features rather than risk the broader commercial suspension of the entire game.
That makes sense. They sacrificed high-margin microtransaction engagement in one specific area to preserve the foundational, you know, operational status of the product.
The risk calculus was actually pretty simple for them. The compounding legal risks and potential platform delisting vastly outweighed the revenue generated by unrestricted casino access in that specific territory.
Right. And while Australia is the newest headline, the report makes it very clear they are late to the party. We are actually looking at a deeply fragmented global landscape here.
Yeah, this has been building for years.
Exactly. When the Diamond Casino update originally launched back in July of 2019, players in over 50 countries discovered on day one that these gambling features were completely disabled for them.
And the 2026 data in the report confirms the blacklist now covers 52 countries. We are talking about a massive, heavily populated chunk of globe.
It's not just a few small regions.
No, not at all. Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Poland, Portugal, China, South Korea, Greece, Argentina, the list is extensive. Meanwhile, players in the US and the UK remain fully unrestricted.
Which is wild. We have to look at why these different regions are blocked, because it isn't a unified global law, right? The legal drivers are incredibly diverse.
Yeah, it's a real patchwork of different cultural and legal standards.
Right. In places like Saudi Arabia and the UAE, the restriction is driven by strict anti-gambling religious and civil laws. Any form of betting, even a simulated digital version with fake money, violates local statutes.
But then you cross into European nations like Poland and Portugal, where the blocks are driven by stringent EU loot box and betting regulations.
So it's more about consumer protection there.
Exactly. Their consumer protection statutes treat any chance-based activity connected to real money microtransactions as heavily regulated commercial betting.
So to operate the Diamond Casino in Poland, Rockstar would have to basically become a licensed casino.
Pretty much. They would need to apply for specialized state gambling licenses, undergo regular financial audits, and implement strict age verification gateways, which, you know, a video game publisher is simply not equipped to do.
And in China and South Korea, you have state gaming commissions exercising incredibly strict centralized oversight over digital economies to prevent capital flight and curb gaming addiction.
It creates a really bizarre player experience.
Yeah, this patchwork of international law creates what the report vividly calls a split reality in multiplayer.
I love that term for it.
It's so accurate. Imagine you and your international gaming crew are hanging out in the same virtual luxury casino penthouse. You're all on the same server, talking in the same headset chat.
Just having a normal gaming session.
Right. A player connecting from the United States can walk downstairs, step up to the lucky wheel, and win a high-end supercar.
While their friend is standing right next to them.
Yes. Their crewmate, sitting right next to them in the virtual world, who happens to live in Poland or Australia, walks up to the exact same wheel and gets a grayed-out screen that says, "This feature is not available in your region."
It's so surreal. The laws of physics in this shared digital space literally change depending on the physical GPS coordinates of the person holding the controller.
It completely fractures the shared illusion of a persistent virtual world.
It really does.
But I do have to push back on the inclusion of the lucky wheel in these bans. I can completely understand a government banning virtual poker or roulette where you are betting chips that you bought with a real-world credit card.
Sure, that's a direct financial line.
Right. But players are absolutely furious about losing the free daily spin on the lucky wheel. There is zero money being wagered on that spin. It's just a free daily login reward. Locking a free spin feels like immense regulatory overreach.
I get why players feel that way, but regulatory bodies aren't just looking at the immediate financial transaction. They're looking at the underlying code and the long-term behavioral conditioning.
The code itself is the problem.
Yeah, the lucky wheel operates on a random probability generator. It is the exact same underlying mathematics that runs a commercial slot machine in the real world.
Oh, wow. So the brain is processing the spinning visual and the random outcome the exact same way it would in Vegas.
Exactly. The report actually cites behavioral psychologists who point out that consumer protection agencies view these mechanics as a psychological gateway.
A gateway to what, though, if it's free?
The concern is that introducing these probability generators trains younger demographics to adopt risky wagering habits through a familiar, comfortable video game interface.
Ah, getting them used to the feeling of gambling.
Right. These psychologists found that variable reward schedules, like the sheer unpredictability of where the wheel will stop, trigger identical neurochemical dopamine responses in the brain, whether the ultimate payout is tangible cash or a digital supercar.
That is fascinating. The neurochemical thrill of the spin exists completely independently of the monetary value of the prize.
Yes. And when you pair that neurological thrill with frictionless digital payment gateways, like, you know, having a credit card permanently linked to your console account, players experience diminished financial awareness.
Because you aren't physically handing over cash.
Exactly. The friction of physically handing over cash is gone, which accelerates impulse purchases. Regulators are targeting the underlying probability code to break that habituation cycle before it even starts.
Okay, that makes sense from a legal perspective, but moving from the legal theory to the actual engineering of this problem is staggering.
It's a logistical nightmare.
Right. How does a single company police millions of players in real time across 52 different sovereign borders without the servers just, you know, collapsing under the weight of the surveillance?
Well, the level of granular telemetry required to pull this off is immense. Rockstar's engineering teams use a combination of automated IP detection, platform regional tagging, and account billing locations to build dynamic geofences around the casino features.
So from a back-end infrastructure perspective, they're basically conducting continuous server-side validation.
Constantly checking where you are.
Yeah, the moment you join a session, the server has to reconcile your location telemetry in real time. It dynamically isolates players from restricted jurisdictions, making the gambling tables inert for them, while keeping the tables active for the American player standing right next to them.
And they have to do this flawlessly.
And without causing network disconnections or crashing the entire server instance.
Which is an incredible feat of engineering, honestly. But this intense surveillance naturally pushes some players to try and bypass the geofencing.
Oh, of course. Gamers will always find a workaround.
Right. Using a VPN, a virtual private network, to mask your physical location and trick the server into granting access to the casino is incredibly common.
But the Tech and Radar report issues a very stark warning to anyone trying this. Using a VPN to access the casino creates a massive secondary risk, right?
A huge risk. You are directly violating the Rockstar Games Social Club Terms of Service.
And the automated security sweeps flag the IP discrepancy, which can result in a permanent ban.
Yeah, you don't just lose access to the casino. You lose your entire account, all your progress, and all the digital assets you spent years accumulating.
All for a virtual game of blackjack.
Because the publisher has to maintain 100% proactive compliance to satisfy these international regulators and prevent storefront bans. They will absolutely sacrifice individual player accounts to prove to the Australian or Polish governments that their geofencing is impenetrable.
Wow. And the technical policing doesn't stop at the official servers, which is where this gets really interesting. The report introduces a massive wrinkle. Rockstar's 2023 acquisition of CFX.RA, the development team behind 5M.
This is a huge shift in the landscape.
Yeah, for you listening who might not be deep into the modding scene, 5M is the platform that allows players to run massive, custom, modified roleplay servers completely separate from the official GTA Online experience.
It is a totally decentralized ecosystem built entirely on creative freedom and user-generated content.
It's like Rockstar just bought a massive apartment complex. For years, the tenants have been doing whatever they want, modifying their rooms, running their own businesses.
A total free-for-all.
Exactly. But suddenly, Rockstar is the landlord. If those tenants are running illegal underground virtual casinos inside their private roleplay servers, casinos that are often funded by real money server donations or VIP subscriptions, the new landlord is the one who goes to jail.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Rockstar's acquisition means they assumed direct legal and operational responsibility for thousands of user-operated multiplayer servers.
That sounds like a legal nightmare.
It is. With international statutory regulations tightening, Rockstar's engineering teams now have to enforce the exact same compliance standards across the Wild West of the 5M ecosystem that they do on their official, highly controlled servers.
But policing decentralized servers run by third parties sounds impossible. I mean, you can't just have employees manually logging into every roleplay server every day to check the back rooms for hidden blackjack tables.
I know, they can't. So they deploy automated content scanning systems.
Automated scanners?
Yeah, these are highly sophisticated scripts that sweep through the thousands of decentralized community-run servers. The scanners are designed to parse through custom code, looking for probability math and chance-based minigame scripts that link to real-world monetary plugins, like Patreon API calls or direct PayPal donation links.
They're essentially running a global digital search warrant on community code.
That's a good way to put it.
That has to cause incredible tension, because roleplay communities are entirely built on creative modding freedom.
Oh, it creates intense friction between the developer and the most dedicated segment of their player base. Server verification protocols must constantly validate script integrity to prevent bad actors from deploying hidden gambling code.
So the server hosts have to be incredibly careful.
Exactly. The independent server hosts have to ensure that their underground casinos remain strictly fictional, you know, purely roleplay-driven constructs with absolutely no external financial interfaces.
Because if a custom script allows a player to buy in-game chips with a real-world server donation,
both the server operator and Rockstar face severe legal liability from international regulators.
Wow. So we are taking all of these legal headaches, all of this behavioral psychology, and this intense technical server-side scanning and applying it to the biggest impending entertainment launch in history. Grand Theft Auto the Sex.
It's going to be a monumental test for them.
The thematic clash here is undeniable. GTA 6 is set in Leonida, which is basically centered around Vice City. This is a fictionalized Florida. It is a place culturally synonymous with high-stakes gambling, luxury resorts, and underground criminal economies.
It's baked into the setting.
Satirizing American excess is the absolute DNA of the Grand Theft Auto franchise.
Right, and Rockstar has undoubtedly invested immense resources into designing the multiplayer component of GTA 6 to replicate or even exceed the unprecedented financial success of GTA Online.
Right, they want another $8 billion hit.
Exactly. Interactive casinos and dynamic player-driven economies were fully expected to be central to that immersive Vice City experience. But this multinational regulatory wall forces them into a strategic crossroads for the foundational design of their entire monetization engine.
The report actually lays out their options, and frankly, neither sounds appealing for a game of this magnitude.
They're both tough choices.
Option A is they simply keep the current geo-blocking strategy. They release GTA 6, and on day one, players in 50-plus countries walk into a heavily promoted Vice City casino and find half the features completely disabled.
Which is terrible for marketing. Delivering a truncated, feature-stripped experience to millions of players on launch day is incredibly risky from a public relations standpoint.
Right.
It risks immediate negative review scores, massive community backlash, and severely diminished day one engagement in key growth markets across Europe and Asia.
Then we look at option B, which industry insiders suggest Rockstar's engineering teams are currently developing. They call it a separated currency architecture.
This is where it gets really complex.
Under this framework, the game establishes two completely isolated digital economies. One currency is reserved strictly for microtransaction purchases. You buy it with real money, and you can only use it to buy static assets like real estate, vehicles, and cosmetics.
And the second currency is a completely separate, non-buyable earned currency.
So you can't buy it with a credit card at all?
Nope. You can only acquire it through actual gameplay, like completing heists or missions. This earned currency is the only money designated for the casino games and sports betting.
I have to push back on that from a purely gameplay perspective. Doesn't that completely shatter the immersion?
It definitely complicates it.
The entire fantasy of this franchise is building a unified criminal empire. If your money doesn't work everywhere, if you have to manage two completely disconnected wallets and mentally calculate which digital dollar can be spent where, that feels incredibly clunky and artificial. It ruins the fantasy of being a high roller.
I completely agree. It is an extraordinarily delicate balance for narrative game designers to strike. You are taking a satirical, immersive world and imposing a rigid, artificial financial firewall right in the middle of it.
Yeah, it breaks the illusion.
However, the legal reality dictates the design here. The report actually quotes Michael Pachter, the managing director of equity research at Wedbush Securities.
Oh, what does he say about it?
He emphasizes that publishers spent the last decade exploiting regulatory gray zones. But when real-world currency enters the loop, governments have a fundamental duty to protect public health and consumer rights.
So the governments aren't backing down.
Not at all. A fragmented launch build would be disastrous, so the publisher simply must prioritize long-term compliance over aggressive, short-term microtransaction strategies.
They basically have to build the legal constraints directly into the pre-production architecture of the game. They can't just release the game and try to patch in compliance later.
Exactly. To pull off this separated currency architecture, developers have to evaluate decentralized token tracking systems. The back-end ledger has to tag every single digital dollar with its origin, whether it came from a fiat transaction or gameplay.
Wow, every single dollar is tracked.
Right. If a player attempts to place a bet using a fiat-tagged dollar, the server has to instantly reject the action. These complex tracking systems are necessary just to guarantee this strict separation between the wallets, ensuring they can survive an audit from every statutory board, from the ACMA in Australia to the European Commission.
So what does this all mean? We've traced this from a single-blocked blackjack table in Australia to a 50-nation legal web to the back-end cut of custom roleplay servers all the way to the foundational design of the most anticipated game of the decade.
It's a massive ripple effect.
It really is. The core takeaway here for you listening is that the era of the regulatory gray zone for digital microtransactions is definitively over.
Yeah, Rockstar's journey through this regulatory crucible is going to serve as the blueprint for live service game design for the next decade.
Other developers will have to follow suit.
Exactly. Developers across the industry are being forced to abandon ungated chance mechanics. The future relies on transparent, deterministic, skill-based reward systems. If publishers want their virtual worlds to survive globally, they have to respect the physical laws of the real world.
This deep dive isn't just about losing a virtual game of roulette. It's about realizing the incredibly fragile nature of digital asset ownership in live service games.
It's a wake-up call for players.
Truly, you can spend years and hundreds of real dollars building a life in a digital world, and a single legal statute passed in a real-world parliament can lock you out of your favorite features overnight. Which leaves us with a final thought to mull over.
Yeah, this raises a really important question as the boundary between our physical economies and our digital leisure spaces continues to dissolve.
We play these sprawling, chaotic video game sandboxes specifically to escape the rigid rules of reality. But if sovereign international financial laws like complex anti-money laundering protocols and strict betting regulations continue to map perfectly onto our virtual worlds, are the sprawling digital spaces of the future destined to become just as heavily regulated, restricted, and policed as the real-world societies we play them to escape? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, and keep questioning the hidden systems operating right behind your digital screens.